Welcome to AgriPulse Newsmakers, where we aim to take you to the heart of ag policy. I'm your host, Lydia Johnson. Our guest this week is Minnesota Congressman Tom Emmer, the House Majority Whip. We discuss the GOP's midterm strategy, government funding set to expire at the end of January, and his agriculture priorities. But first, here are this week's headlines. The nation's new dietary guidelines call on Americans to eat real foods and eat fewer products that are highly processed. The dietary guidelines are revised every 5 years, offering a prime opportunity for the Trump administration to carry out its agenda for making America healthy again. Use of the guidelines to drive dietary choices means more protein, dairy, healthy fats, whole grains, fruits, and vegetables, whether they are fresh, frozen, canned, or dry, Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins said at the White House announcement. The ag sector generally welcomed the recommendations, but soybean growers were alarmed by statements calling into question the potential for seed oils to harm Americans' health. The Food and Drug Administration has made some progress in creating a framework to carry out the Food Safety Modernization Act, but still has work to do in some areas. A new Government Accountability Office report says that FDA has not fully implemented certain sections of the law focused on preventing foodborne illness, such as issuing updated guidelines to help farmers reduce the risk of contaminating food. The report found that the agency has not yet issued guidance on good agricultural practices for reducing contaminated food risks, or a report on the progress of implementing a National Food Emergency Response Laboratory Network. California Congressman Doug LaMalfa, a Republican member of the House Agriculture Committee, has died at the age of 65. A fourth-generation rice farmer and lifelong resident of Northern California, LaMalfa spent more than 2 decades in public service. He represented California's 1st District from 2013 to 2026, serving as chairman of the Congressional Western Caucus and chair of the House Agriculture, Forestry, and Horticulture Subcommittee. Congress is back in Washington for the second session of the 119th Congress, and Republicans kicked off the week with a retreat featuring remarks from President Trump. We asked House Majority Whip Tom Emmer about his takeaways from the day and vision for the House in 2026.
It's great to be with you, Lydia, especially after we all got to part ways and try to enjoy a family and, you know, time down over Christmas and New Year's. But now we're back to work. And that was more the theme on Tuesday when everybody came back in. The discussion is you got to be here. You got to be ready to work. We got some major things to get done, including the appropriations process from last year. We've got a deadline coming up in about 9 or 10 days. Which is moving along, I think, better than people understand. We'll see how it goes today and then next week, but I think that's going to wrap up pretty well. We still have a farm bill to get done, right? What's left of the farm bill? The good news is we did a bunch of the controversial is not the word, but where people have differences of opinions and typically on money, a lot of that got done in the Working Families Tax Cut Act, which hopefully our ag communities will start to see some differences coming this month with that law being implemented finally. But we talked about things like that and the fact that we've got to get this accomplished before everybody starts going off and doing the campaigns that we do every 2 years.
And you mentioned that January deadline. 9 of the 12 appropriation bills are still not passed. I mean, do you think that there could be another government shutdown?
I'm not going to do hypotheticals. I don't think we're not going to get our work done. You're going to see 3 of the 9 get passed today. You're going to see another 3 at least get passed next week, and then obviously, the last ones would get done right before the deadline or right on the deadline. So I expect this to get done. And the good news is, the appropriators agreed to a top line before Christmas, which is why I'm confident. My hope was, as a member of leadership, that we started passing some of these bills before we left for Christmas. But even without being able to do that, the fact that they reached agreement on a top line and they were able to work over Christmas and New Year's to start building these out, knowing what both sides agreed on, that's almost as good.
Farm groups are optimistic that a year-round E15 could potentially be included in a budget package, potentially a minibus this year. Do you think it's feasible for E15 to finally cross the finish line in one of those packages?
I've been advocating for this for years. In fact, I had an understanding, I thought, in the first Trump administration that we were going to have year-round E15. I actually talked to the president about it during the first Trump administration. I would like to tell you that I'm confident that we can get that done. We'll just have to see how all the pieces end up coming together at the end. The good news for our ag country and for people who are involved in the agricultural marketplace in this country is that you got a lot of allies. There's a lot of people who understand the importance of things like year-round E15, and I think you're going to see it.
A first budget reconciliation bill was passed earlier this summer, and as you mentioned, some very important provisions for agriculture within that. But Speaker Johnson has indicated that he's potentially open, a lot of things up in the air, but potentially open to a second budget reconciliation bill in 2026. I'm curious, first, what are the odds of that happening? What would you like to see in it? I mean, it's a very interesting political landscape with a very narrow majority in the House.
If it is another reconciliation bill, that'll be wonderful. The question, though, because he's opened the conversation, the question is going to be, what does the administration want, and will they be willing to lean in on it? You know, if it's a narrowly drafted document that the White House has gotten behind, I think then it's very possible that you could see that done. But as we sit here today, Lydia, I can't tell you what those items are that are going to be in it, because that's really how the secret sauce is made. What is the agreement? And this one's going to be between Republicans. And remember, just because someone is a Republican doesn't mean that all Republicans think alike and all Republicans have the same goal for the outcome. So that's what we have to work through. As soon as the White House and our leadership reaches some understanding of what they want and what is possible, then we can get to work with members and see where we have agreement, see where we need to iron out differences. I have no doubt that if the speaker reaches some kind of understanding with the president as to what they're looking for in a reconciliation 2.0, we're going to be able to get that done.
And there were many important provisions important to agriculture within that budget reconciliation bill as well. And having conversations with Chairman Thompson of the House Agriculture Committee, he said that he'd like to see provision for tax breaks for U.S.-made farm machinery if a second budget reconciliation bill is, brought forward. I mean, a lot of what-ifs, a lot of things in the air right now, as you were explaining, but is that something that you would support?
Oh, absolutely, Lydia. So let's say we didn't do this at the beginning. I'm the whip in the U.S. House of Representatives. That's for people who are viewing, listening, that's the third position, the third highest ranking position in leadership. The speaker's in charge for everything that happens on the floor, everything that happens on the campus, security, the agenda, et cetera. The majority leader is responsible for working with chairs and scheduling floor action, right? And building a calendar for the year so that members know when they're going to be in Washington and when they're going to be working with constituents at home. The whip, I argue, has the best job of anyone, because my job is to work with all of our members. And I've got to be able to take our members, what they believe, what they're willing to do, and take that to the majority leader and the speaker to tell them what is possible. Our job is to get this stuff over the line. So when I do the whip's job, it's kind of separate from my position as a representative for Minnesota's 6th Congressional District. But you know what? The core values from my district are still here. For me, whether it's year-round E15, whether it's eliminating taxes on farm machinery, whether it's creating new tax incentives, whether it's redirecting a tariff revenue to the farm community that is actually shouldering some of the burden, I support all of that.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after this.
Farm Credit supports rural communities and agriculture with reliable, consistent credit and financial services in good times and bad. We provide loans to farmers and ranchers, farmer-owned cooperatives, rural homebuyers, agribusinesses, and rural infrastructure providers. As cooperatives, we're locally owned and governed. We help agricultural producers feed the world. For America's farmers. Farm Credit, supporting rural communities and agriculture. Learn more today.
think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources.
This
is my sustainability story.
Welcome back. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer says passing a farm bill still remains a priority, although the process was delayed by the government shutdown. We asked him how soon the Agriculture Committee could take action on a farm bill in 2026.
I guess the reason I love the Ag Committee is because it should be one of the most nonpartisan committees in Congress, quite frankly. It's not, people who eat are not just Republicans and they're not just Democrats. What I'm about to say to you is not intended to be partisan, but we lost, and G.T. Thompson lost a lot of time with the shutdown that took place beginning on October 1st. And frankly, I'm still frustrated by that because that has delayed everything, which is why we had the, you can call it a retreat, whatever, but it's more of a locker room meeting that took place at the beginning of this week when everybody came back. But look, we got a lot of things that have been compressed in time now because of that 40-some day shutdown that was frankly not necessary, and it wasn't good for anyone, right? So here we are. Now we're going to have to literally step it up and accelerate it. I don't know if GT is still marking that up in January because of that 40-some day delay. Yes, it was his hope. But you have some realities with time. And I think while it's still a priority of his, and I know it's still a priority of especially Democrats who represent not only rural districts, but districts where people need food, it's a big deal. So whether it's January or February, I do see it moving. And again, we can celebrate the fact that a lot of things that are Farm Bill related were passed in that Working Families Tax Cut Act, and that our farm families in the ag community will start to realize the benefits of those as early as the end of January, going into February, March, etc. But we're not done yet. And I think everybody recognizes that there's still a lot of work to do. We can celebrate the greatest farms, the greatest producers, the greatest markets on the face of the planet. But if our guys can't survive, if they can't make a return on what they're producing, that's all for naught. And I think that is well understood by members of Congress. So don't expect that it's going to sit on the shelf. GT meant what he said. I think he ran into a little bit of a compressed time situation with the shutdown, but we'll see. He may still well move that before the end of the month.
And I want to get your thoughts as well. Governor Tim Walz of Minnesota announced that he will not be running for re-election, and there's speculation that Senator Amy Klobuchar, the ranking member of the Senate Ag Committee, could run for governor of Minnesota to fill his seat. I'm curious of what you think, if she chooses to run, what that can mean for Minnesota agriculture, but also, here in Washington, if we have a new one of the four corners on the Senate Ag Committee.
Amy, I've gotten along with. We do a lot of work together. She's not going to run for governor. I'd be shocked. She will be here in Washington. She'll be doing her job. Governor Walz, I have my differences with the governor. I think it was a very wise decision by the governor to step aside and say that he's going to let someone else run from the Democrat side of the aisle. We'll see how that all shakes out. I mean, we've got a lot of issues that we're dealing with in Minnesota right now.
We'll be back with more newsmakers. But first, Andrew Hunneke looks at commodities receiving the most funding per acre from the Farmer Bridge Assistance Program in this week's Ag by the Numbers.
USDA has announced which commodities will receive the highest per acre payments from the $11 billion in bridge assistance funding announced by the department at the end of last year. This chart shows the breakdown of per acre payments by commodity. Rice and cotton will receive the most at $133 and $117 respectively. Other commodities like oats, peanuts, sorghum, corn, wheat, and soybeans will receive payments ranging from $82 to $31. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins said farmers who qualify for assistance can expect payments by the end of February. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Hunneke.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Join us as we celebrate three decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions. Connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Welcome back. The Dietary Guidelines for Americans were released this week, calling on Americans to eat real foods and fewer highly processed products. We're joined by Ken Barbick with Invariant and Callie Eideberg with the Vogel Group on our panel this week. To begin, Ken, what were your initial takeaways from the final long-awaited report?
The biggest takeaway was the change in the food pyramid, going from the MyPlate to a new design and an inverted form of the pyramid. I think as we dive more into, you know, some of the details, it will become more clear in the days, weeks ahead. We still don't know what the implementation, what the guidance is going to be for implementing in some of the federal programs. That's probably the biggest impact in terms of, you know, what the demand pull will be as we look at how those requirements and guidelines get implemented into things like SNAP and military, or into school meals and into military feeding programs and whatnot. So more to see on that. You know, obviously there was certain sectors, I think, that were happier than others. You know, some of the protein space, obviously with the increase that was suggested, that was well received for folks in that area. Heavy influence, heavy impact in terms of encouraging fruit and vegetable consumption. You know, I think for folks in some of the packaged food space, you know, obviously the warnings and whatnot, probably not as happy of a message coming out of the new DGAs, but really the big impact is going to be how these get implemented as we look into federal programs. And then looking ahead, I think an even bigger thing is going to be the outstanding rulemaking on ultra-processed foods. I think it was interesting to see some of the language that was used in regard to highly processed instead of ultra-processed. You know, so I think a lot of eyes are going to be on that, as well as grass reform, and then things like the SNAP waivers that are currently underway in the states.
And Callie, I want to get your thoughts on the DGAs as well. You know, the soybean growers in particular were concerned about the mention of seed oils, and a few other sectors were concerned that the government is urging people not to consume highly processed foods.
So the new upside down pyramid, I love. I think the new design they have is very retro, and it takes me back to the late 80s and early 90s. And I think it's very much a fun vibe that they've brought to the food pyramid. But you mentioned the ultra processed and the highly processed foods. That is definitely something that we have heard from experts for a long time, that Americans should be decreasing in their diets. But at the same time, I think the challenge is we live in a world where these highly processed foods are a way to get dinner on the table cheaply, efficiently, and fast for families that have two parents working every night. And so thinking about an entire shift in the way that families are feeding their kids, and also the affordability of being able to put dinner on the table every night when you are having to do from scratch cooking. This is going to be interesting to see how it plays out in the broader culture conversations that we're having around food and affordability at this time.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers right after this.
I think some of sustainability to farmers just comes second nature. If you asked a farmer, are you sustainable, they'd probably look at you maybe a little funny and say, I don't think I'm doing anything that special, but it really is just what they do. We're all farmers, and our goal is taking the best care of our land, our cattle, our natural resources. This
is my sustainability story.
Thank you. Regenerative poultry production is a process by which nature can actually recapture and restore the energy that is being taken out of our space.
Farm Credit helped Rahi build his dream of regenerative poultry farming and encouraging fellow immigrants to find community in agriculture.
Nothing beats a farm. I'm just pursuing happiness.
Learn more at farmcredit.com/beginning.
Welcome back. Farm Country is still waiting for the renewal of a 5-year farm bill to update provisions not included in the One Big Beautiful Bill passed in July. And House Ag Committee Chairman G.T. Thompson said the committee could take action as soon as January. We asked Ken Barbick with Invariant if he thinks it's possible for Congress to pass a farm bill this year.
I think there's certainly a possibility of that. I think, a number of provisions on the financial side obviously were dealt with in the reconciliation bill, but there's still 80 plus priorities, policy issues that are outstanding that, cross the partisan divide in terms of, where those priorities line up. I know that Chairman Thompson is hopeful to mark something up in committee in the early part of this year. So we'll see how that process goes in the House, and then where that goes, in terms of the floor and the Senate. I do think from a timing standpoint, we're going to see turnover in the four corners after this Congress. So I think the timing, it's important that we see something move. We're going to see at least some movement in terms of who is at the top of the committees, with Ranking Member Craig running for Senate, potentially Ranking Member Klobuchar contemplating another office at this point. And then, even Chairman Thompson has, his 6 years are up. So whether or not he would have a waiver to continue serving as the head of the Republican side of the committee remains to be seen. And that's before even knowing what the makeup of the chamber and majorities are going to look like going into next year. So I do think it's critical that we see action this year, because if we don't, I think there's going to be a lot of change and turnover in terms of committee leadership going into the next Congress, where I fear we could see it slip even further if we don't see it completed this year.
Callie, I'd like to get your thoughts as well. Is it potentially more likely that some of these farm bill elements could be passed in, multiple vehicles or, different ways instead of a full complete 5-year farm bill? I mean, what's your view?
Well, I think we're getting to the point where that might be the only way to be passing these policy provisions, those small pieces of legislation, getting them over the finish line and chalking up a win. That would be a complete 180 in terms of how we do ag policy in the U.S., but it might be the only possibility that we have now. We certainly don't see any of the key signals coming from Congress that they are really going to be in a position to move the full farm bill, or what some have called the skinny farm bill this year. Chairman Thompson is such an optimist, and I love him for it. But until we see House leadership echo that same optimism, and until we see something, at least publicly from the Senate, that they're really going to take steps on a farm bill, like, I'm not placing a bet that we're going to get this done this year. But if we can move small pieces in individual bills, that's a good thing. But it does take pressure off of passing the bill as a whole.
We'll be back with more Newsmakers. But first, Andrew Honecke looks at the proposed coast-to-coast rail network merger with Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern. And this week's Map It Out.
Union Pacific and Norfolk Southern have submitted a merger plan to create the first coast-to-coast railroad company. This map shows the scope of the proposed network if the merger happens. Union Pacific track lines are marked in blue, and Norfolk Southern track lines are marked in black. The two companies have submitted a proposal to the Surface Transportation Board that includes supporting statements from some farmers and ag companies. However, it's being criticized by other major railroads and some shipper groups who argue it leaves out critical information about the merger's potential impacts on the flow of goods across the country. For AgriPulse, I'm Andrew Honecke.
Trial lawyers are using a discredited report from a World Health Organization subagency to attack a safe, American-made weed-fighting tool. This critical tool helps keep your food costs down, and without it, food inflation could double. Stand with American farmers and keep trial lawyers' greed out of our farms and food supply. Fight back. Call your local representative.
Join us as we celebrate 3 decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions. Connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of AgriPulse Newsmakers. Next week, both the House and Senate will be in session. Tune in next week for a special episode from the American Farm Bureau Federation Convention in Anaheim, California, with the group's president, Zippy Duval, and Congressional Ag Committee leaders. For AgriPulse, I'm Lydia Johnson. Thanks for watching.
Newsmakers is a production of AgriPulse Communications. You can also find our new content on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to follow AgriPulse and our correspondents on social media to get breaking news and more. For agriculture, trade, food, environment, and regulatory news, your source is AgriPulse.com.